Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Malaga Drive Hoops Betting Podcast. As usual, I am your host, Caleb. We're here on this Thursday to break down another NBA slate. Before we get into all the good stuff, I will say, stay tuned, because there's, I can't quite share it yet, but there's going to be an announcement on the way soon. Might be moving off Anchor, man, but bigger and better things. And expect more podcasts, more consistent podcasts, 5 to 6 times a week. I'm very, very excited to share that. That will be coming up soon. Hopefully can share that either by end of the day or tomorrow at the very latest. But let's get into it, man. Yesterday was tough. We got 0-2, take an L on Magic Moneyline, take an L on Markel Fultz, over 20.5 PRA, brings us to about plus 13 units on the year. Not loving the way we're ending this season at all, but you know, profit's profit. Can't be too mad at it. In terms of the game itself, it's, again, I'm not one of those people where when a star goes down and the team plays, you know, half decent for a little bit, I'm like, oh, this team is, and it's fun to do that, but the Bucks still, they do need Giannis to be the best versions of themselves. But for whatever reason, man, they play well. They have played well to this point when Giannis sits. And I think a lot of that is just that people don't realize. And it takes some time, right? That's the other side of it. It's year one into this. But it does absolutely take time to adjust to even a 1B role. I'm not even going to say two, like a 1B role. And that's what Dame is in. You know, in Portland, it's like, all right. Whenever I want, I got the rock. I can run a high pick and roll whenever I want. I can find my rhythm within that. It's not quite the same in Milwaukee, and it's not like he doesn't have the ball in his hands. But also that's a talk for another day. But regardless, I think Dame is more comfortable. I think it frees up Bobby Portis, and I think everyone just comes in with a mindset of like, all right, we got to step up. I have no hesitation in – you know, a shot that I may pass up when Giannis is here, I may not I'm not passing that up now. Regardless, wrong call. They enforced their will. Second quarter really took a big lead, and the Magic could never recover. They made little baby pushes, but you really never felt like the Magic were back in that game. And I love the Magic. You guys know I talked about it last game or last pod. Like, I really love what this team has done. I love how hard they play for each other, but I still feel like there's stuff to be cleaned up on the offensive side of the ball. And part of it is, yeah, they're not armed with a bunch of shooters, but a lot of times it just feels like they are so overly reliant on Paolo to go get a bucket. And that's not, to me, Paolo or Franz, and Franz wasn't even there, right? But to me, that's just... They got to clean up the process, I feel like, on offense a little bit more. Regardless of the wrong read, just not even the wrong, just a bad read. And then Markel was a bad read, too. Just should have stayed away on a second half of a back-to-back. He is healthier now, and the fact that he even played is a good sign. But he didn't quite have the normal juice that he had, although he did start off hot. And then the blowout really killed any chance of it. And honestly, he probably wasn't getting it, even if he got back in the fourth. But regardless, move on to today. We got the Bulls Pistons starting us off. Gross game. Pistons are checked out, right? 13-66 on the year. I think in my eyes, by far the worst record in the league. Not even by my eyes. They are the worst record. They have the worst record in the league. And they're ready to go home. They're ready to go home. Cade Cunningham, questionable. Bulls on the other side of things. They are just about as average as you can get, right? They're going to have their moments against good teams, but they're also going to fall short plenty of times. They've fallen short recently. This sets up well for them to probably – I'd be very surprised if they don't win this game. Do they win by 10-plus? I don't know. I'm staying away from this game. I have zero interest in this game. And that's where I'm at. Next game, Knicks Celtics, and I already recorded this, and it didn't, for whatever reason, didn't capture. So I'm just gonna get back after it again. This line feels short. I like the Celtics here, -1.5, and I don't know if I'm going to play it. I will say on the injury side of things, you've got Jrue Holiday questionable, Kristaps Porzingis questionable. The Knicks obviously still missing Julius Randle, but that's about it. You got OG back, you got Mitchell back. It feels short. Now, I think the reason why this line is where it's at is because the Knicks still have something to play for, right? Like, they can move up to two. Now, it's very interesting because really two through eight are all separated by, like, okay, eight's not, right? Like, the Heat aren't catching the Knicks, okay? They're four games back. But, like, Philly's, Miami's one game back of Philly. Philly's one game back of Indiana. Indiana's tied with Orlando. Orlando's one game back of Cleveland. Cleveland's a half game back of New York. New York is one and a half back of Milwaukee. So they're all clustered up. And, you know, at this point, you don't know. Like, New York, they can move up to two, but moving up to two could mean getting Philly with Joel Embiid. And I don't know about you guys. I would much rather play Indiana. I'd much rather play Miami. I would much rather play Orlando. I do not want to see Joel Embiid and the Sixers in the first round in a 2-7 matchup. I'm sorry, I do not. And that's not to say that the Knicks could not beat them. In fact, they probably, just given kind of the uncertainty and the injury stuff that the Sixers have dealt with, would be slightly favored, especially if they have home court. But they don't want that. But regardless, it's too early. You can't – I am not a manipulate games guy this early. I think the only time you do that is if you have one game left. You know, if you lose, you are in a better position, and so you rest, guys. But we're not at that point yet. So I think I think you got to play it out, and I think that's what New York's going to do. And I think that's why this line is where it is. Because if you had this same exact situation, round one of the playoffs, Drew questionable, Kristaps questionable, everyone that's playing for the Knicks playing, the Celtics at home, the Celtics would be higher than a 1.5-point favorite. I can guarantee you that. So that's baked into the line of, like, the Celtics have had one wrapped up for a long-ass time. They are, like, double-digit games up on the second seed in the East. But, again, they are there because it has not mattered. Drew's out. D-White's out. You know, Zinger's out. Horford. Whoever has been out for this team, they have showed up and generally given a good performance and gotten the most out of whoever is there during this season. So, to me, I like the Celtics here today. I don't know that I'm going to do it. It's late in the season. You never know what bullshit teams can be on. But the Celtics are off of a loss and have generally shown up, regardless of whatever the situation is, no matter home, away, back-to-back, guys in, guys out, game is meaningful, game's meaningless. And this game is meaningless in terms of standings, in terms of what it means for them and their, you know, their seeding. But to me, there's still a basketball game to be played. And I think Joe Mazzulla understands the importance of showing up every day and building habits and building consistency. And they've done that and they've showcased that. I don't know that that changes today just because this game's meaningless and it means a little bit more to the Knicks. I lean Celtics -1.5. And you still may get Kristaps or Drew. Like, maybe they're both out and it's like, okay, I'll pass. But if they're both in and you're getting 1.5 at the crib against the Knicks are good. Like, this is nothing. This is not even like a slight against the Knicks. This is just like, okay, this Celtics team has been really good to this point. 1.5 seems short. All right, next up, we are headed to Utah where the Jazz are hosting the Rockets. Jazz 11-point dogs here today. This is probably a stay away for me. Obviously, the Houston Rockets are a better team. I mean, that shows. You got a lot of different factors coming into this one, all right? The Rockets are now eliminated. Not getting into the playoffs. Not getting into the play-in. And they have been. That is really since they lost to the Warriors at home. That has been kind of like known, hey, you're done. And they could have folded, right? They could have folded. They go into Dallas. They did lose, end up losing by 11 or whatever it ended up being. But they are Jabari Smith Jr. free throw away from winning that game. Then they host the Magic, who have everything to play for. Come in 3-point dogs, beat them at home, right? So I like the way that this team is closing the season. They could easily just say, Fred, sit out, Jalen, sit out, all you guys sit out. We're good. We did our best. Won more way more games than last year. let's get ready for next year. And they haven't done that. So I think that's why they're getting the respect they have. The Jazz, on the other hand, really the second half of the season, they have gone full on tank mode. They have tanked as aggressively as any team in the league has to keep their draft pick. I don't remember the exact stipulations. And that does not change today. So Clarkson out, Collins out, Chris Dunn out, Walker Kessler out. I don't know why Walker Kessler is out. That doesn't even make sense. Lauri Markkanen out, Colin Sexton out. And you're seeing it in the results, right? They are more often than not getting waxed. But they find this sweet spot in general, not always, but they find this sweet spot in which Will Hardy does a great job of getting the most of whatever group's out there. Because the group that is out there is not good. It's talented. It's young and it's talented, and there's some talent there for sure, but it's not a winning group of players. It's not a team that you can put out there and consistently win basketball games. They are, however, competing. And so you get them really quite often now in these situations where they're in these 11 and 12, 13, 14 point spreads. And you know, put it, you see both sides of the coin. So like Denver at home, 15 and a half point dogs against arguably the first or second best team in the league. They lose by 16, right? So they don't cover, but they're right there. Golden State on the road, 12 and a half point dogs. They lose by 8. They were hovering right around that all game. Clippers, they do get blown out. Cleveland, they lose by 16 as a only 9.5 point dog. So, you know, they hover around, they stay in the mix. They are losing from anywhere from, you know, 12 to 25 for a lot of the game. And then the fourth quarter comes and the other team knows they've won. And it's anyone's guess who happens, what happens. And today you've got a Houston team that came in the other day, last one or two weeks ago, and barely pulled it out against the Utah Jazz. And granted, Utah had Walker Kessler, I think, that game. They had Colin Sexton. It's a little different without those two. But to me, it's a little bit too much to lay with a Houston team that really, it does not matter. This season is over. But at the same time, I'm not comfortable hitting Utah here today either. Hope that makes sense. Let's keep it rolling. Pelicans, Kings, this may as well be a playoff game. Pelicans 6th in the West, 47-32. Kings 8th in the West at 45-34. As a Warriors fan, I am a big Pelicans fan here today. Would be huge. Would be a huge loss because I'm just trying to jump into 8. Right? If we can jump into 8, go to Phoenix, beat the Suns, that would be awesome. We are only a game back of the Kings. If we beat the Blazers today and the Kings lose, we are tied. I believe the Kings have the tiebreaker, but I don't care. This should be a good one. This should be a good one. And the Kings are a tough team to read, man. They are one of the more up and down games where when the Kings play at their peak, they're a really good team. Right, you see it. I know they lost by 7, but they went into OKC absolutely balling, looked good for the majority of the game, going to Boston, lose by 1, beating the Knicks for a large stretch, beat the Clippers at home. But then they have these stretches, right, where they go into Washington and they lose. They lose back-to-back games at home against Dallas. And so you just see two sides of the coin with them, and it's really hard to predict on any given night what version you're getting. Pelicans, on the other hand, are kind of similar. These two teams are similar. The Pelicans, I just feel like, are a slightly better version of a very similar team, where it's like when they're really good, when they're good, they're really good, and when they're bad, they're not. They're really bad, right? So you've already seen in the month of March, at home, blown out by the Suns, blown out by the Magic, lost to the Spurs. Then they go into Phoenix and beat Phoenix in Phoenix. And then, you know, they beat Portland on the road by 10, whatever. This is a really tough game. This is a toss-up game. I would lean Kings here today. I think them being at home, them needing this a tiny bit more, and the strength, right? Like, because if you're giving home court as 2-ish, 3-ish points, you're getting a tiny bit of value here on the Kings. So I'll pass. I do lean Kings here today, but I feel like the Kings are a tough match, or I feel like the Pelicans are a tough matchup for the Kings, because the Kings, they just don't have anyone for Zion. Like, and a lot of teams don't, but a lot of teams, you could at least stick a big center in the paint and just hope to, you know, somewhat stop Zion. But the Pelicans, look at this, last four matchups, dating back to November of last year, New Orleans won as a 1.5-point dog by 30-plus. Then they won as a 1.5-point dog by 5. Then they go in a sack as a 3.5-point dog, win by 10. Then they go in a sack as a 4.5-point dog and win by 23. They've seemed to have their number. Yes, no Brandon Ingram, which, you know, matters. But it's still a really good team. It's still a team that has CJ, Trey Murphy, Herb Jones, J-Val, Zion. And you got Keegan questionable too, and Malik Monk out for the Kings. So now that kind of – see, that's what I mean, right? Like, I could see it going either way. I'm going to stay away. Last game of the day, Warriors and Blazers. Warriors 14-point favorites. I was hoping to get in on some Warriors today. Not going to be able to do it. Just 14 is too large. You saw it last game, right? Pelicans needed that game, win by 10. Warriors are going to win this game. Is it going to be by 8? Is it going to be by 9? Is it going to be by 12, 13? Like, you know what I mean? And I honestly, I'd probably lean Blazers at 14. But even then, like, I can't get there. Anyways, I love you guys. I appreciate you guys. Big news on the way. Hopefully be able to share that with you guys soon. And I appreciate you guys for tuning in. Much more coming, right? We're going to have daily pods on each slate. And then moving forward to even when the offseason comes, even when there's not really much to bet on, we'll just talk basketball. And we'll be able to get into deeper discussions. I'll have people on as well. If you ever want to come on and you're a listener, hit me up on Twitter, text me, whatever it is, email me, and we can make it happen. I love you guys. Talk to you soon. And best of luck if you do end up playing anything today. Peace.